Bibles, please, for our Old Testament reading to Zechariah chapter 8. Zechariah chapter 8, verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Again, the word of the Lord of hosts came to me, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I was jealous for Zion with great jealousy, and I was jealous for her with great fury. Thus saith the Lord, I am returned unto Zion, and will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and Jerusalem shall be called a city of truth, and the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, there shall yet old men and old women dwell in the streets of Jerusalem, and every man with his staff in his hand for very age. And the streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in the streets thereof. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, if it be marvelous in the eyes of the remnant of this people in these days, should it also be marvelous in mine eyes, saith the Lord of hosts. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will save my people from the east country and from the west country, and I will bring them, and they shall dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God in truth and in righteousness. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, let your hands be strong, ye that hear in these days these words by the mouth of the prophets, which were in the days that the fountain of the house of the Lord of the foundation of the Lord of the house of the Lord of hosts was laid, that the temple might be built. For before these days there was no hire for man, nor any hire for beast, neither was there any peace to him that went out or came in because of the affliction, for I set all men, everyone, against his neighbor. But now I will not be unto the residue of this people as in the former days, saith the Lord of hosts. For the seed shall be prosperous, the vine shall give her fruit, and the ground shall give her increase, and the heavens shall give their due, and I will cause the remnant of this people to possess all these things. And it shall come to pass that as ye were a curse among the heathen, O house of Judah and house of Israel, so will I save you, and ye shall be a blessing. Fear not, but let your hands be strong. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, as I thought to punish you when your fathers provoked me to wrath, saith the Lord of hosts, and I repented not, so again have I thought in these days to do well unto Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. Fear ye not. These are the things that ye shall do. Speak ye every man the truth to his neighbor. Execute the judgment of truth and peace in your gates. Let none of you imagine evil in your hearts against his neighbor, and love no false oath, for all these are things that I hate, saith the Lord. And the word of the Lord of hosts came unto me, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the fast of the fourth month, and the fast of the fifth, and the fast of the seventh, and the fast of the tenth, shall be to the house of Judah joy and gladness and cheerful feasts. Therefore love the truth and peace. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, it shall yet come to pass that there shall come people, and the inhabitants of many cities, and the inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, let us go speedily to pray before the Lord, and to seek the Lord of hosts. I will go also, yea, many people and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem and to pray before the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, in those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take hold out of all languages of the nations, even shall take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew, saying, we will go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. This is such a great chapter, such an encouraging chapter, as we have had judgments and difficulties and so on, as we've had the restoration here now, as it were, the Lord seems to step into the restoration full force, right? You've been scattered. You've been one man, every man against his neighbor. You've been deprived. You haven't had your oil and your wine and your produce of the fields, and your flocks and herds have been diminished, and you've been put to the worst because of my jealousy and my fury, the Lord says. But now I'm going to change the way I deal with you. Notice this is the sovereign determination of the Lord. There was a time when I was jealous for you with jealousy and with fury. I am returned unto Zion, and I will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and Jerusalem shall be called a city of truth, and the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain. Things are going to change, the Lord says. I'm changing the way I deal with you. Keep in mind, this is not the Lord himself changing. He doesn't change. But he does change in the way he deals with his people. And this is a condescension from the Lord. And some, I suppose, have been confused over that. But I think that's because they're not thinking clearly. If the Lord dealt with us based on his immutability rather than the conditions of humanity, what would that even look like? Could we even conceive as to what that would look like? But the Lord, because he is kind, he condescends to us and changes the way he deals with us for our good, for his glory, for our advancement in holiness, for our repentance, for our instruction. Think of the benefits that we receive at the hand of the Lord, and those are because the Lord condescends to us and in the divine sense of this term, partakes of our weakness with us so that we can change, we can move, we can grow. And that happens when we associate with him who does not change, does not grow, does not do anything like that. These are condescensions from the Lord. When he says, I thought to do you evil, now I'm going to do you good. That doesn't mean he's changed his mind toward us. It means that the time of evil from the Lord is exhausted. He has performed all the work that he intended to perform with those difficult days, and so he brings them to a close, and now there will be halcyon days, days of peace and blessing. And this is what he advertises here. There will be good days now, the Lord says. And yet, may I say, that if we consider it historically, the good days were not all that good. Think of what happens now between Zechariah and, say, the days of Christ. You still have judgment. You still have oppression. You still have apostasy. You have the rising up of the Syrians after Alexander and Antiochus Epiphanes, who will come and invade Jerusalem and tear down the temple. Now, he will eventually be thrown out and his by a man named Judas Maccabeus, right? But don't we also hear, even after the days of Zerubbabel and Joshua, when the temple is rebuilt, that there will be other difficult times as well. There will be. And so, may I say that Zechariah, in these statements of blessing, are not particularly speaking in their final fulfillment about the restoration, but rather about the days of Messiah, which is how the chapter ends. That there will be people from all over the known world, and what will they do? They will grab hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew, and they will say, let us go with you. We have heard that God is among you. And may I say that they will not be coming to Jerusalem and Zion that exist in that day, but they will come to the heavenly Jerusalem and the Mount Zion and the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven, and the spirits of just men made perfect, and the innumerable company of angels. It is to that Zion that Zechariah refers here in chapter 8. It is Messiah's Zion. And so we do want to understand that there was a respite, that the Lord had truly in history changed his face toward his people in such a way that after he had accomplished their chastisement, then he became merciful toward them, reestablished them in the land. The temple was rebuilt. Its foundation was laid. Of course, all of that pointing away from itself to the days when Jesus Christ would come, and as he said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He shall build the temple of the Lord, is what we read two chapters ago. So we're still looking forward toward Messiah. And what is the restoration then? It's not the fulfillment of prophecy. Messiah's days are the fulfillment of prophecy. The restoration is something that comes after the captivity to point away from itself to that greater establishment in the days of Messiah. And won't that day be wonderful? These are great days that are spoken of. Right now, when you look at Jerusalem, what do you see? You see a city that looks like it's been bombed out. Rubble everywhere. Now, they're rebuilding the temple. They've cleared some things out. But what does Zechariah say about it when the Lord will give its favor? You'll have old men and old women walking with their staff in hand through the streets of the city. That's how safe it will be. Children will be playing in the streets. Why? Because they're not hiding out in the bunker. They're not hiding out in the side of the wall, trying to protect themselves from being taken captive or worse, being sold into slavery or whatnot. Rather than that, it'll be a place of peace and safety. And certainly, Messiah's city is a place of peace and safety. And there's one more word that I want to mention before we close out the reading in Zechariah chapter 8. We can't miss it. What word is it? You probably know what it is. You know what I'm about to say. It's the word truth. The word truth plays very largely in this chapter because when the Lord returns to his people, what does he say to them? Speak the truth, every man, with one another, right? Speak the judgment of truth and peace in your gates. I will come back to Jerusalem, and what kind of city will it be? What will it be called? It will be called the city of truth. Why? Because the Lord God of truth is there. Because truth itself is there in his person, in Jesus Christ. And so let us take these admonitions then. What words did we hear? We heard the words peace. We heard the words safety. We heard the word truth. Let that then characterize Messiah's Zion today. Peace and truth and safety, restoration and building. These are the things that we should look for in our day, that there should be none from the youngest to the oldest of us that are under threat, that they should have their place in our streets, that they should have our place in our courts, in our churches, that everyone should come and hear the good word of our Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then finally, that should spill out into the rest of the world, because the truth and the peace and the safety of Zion is such that the rest of the nations will hear and grab hold of the skirt of a Jew and say, let us go with you to Jerusalem. We've heard about that town and we want to go there too. Right? All right. With that then, let's stand.